Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Graded Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. You guys can find me on Twitter at Davis Maddock, joined by Andrew Barron here.
I haven't heard that one in a while. You can find me on Twitter. I like it. There you go.
I must be in autopilot mode today. My brain is, you know, we're here. It's week 17. I've had these games memorized for 7 months, and it turns out none of it matters because all my players died for best ball stuff. You know, but
trying to plan for that is always hilarious to me. Like, I get it. It's like exciting and it's fun to like really, but like thinking that far out, it's like, come on, it's football. It's 4 months later. All these guys are going to be dead. But, you know,
yes.
Don't bother me on Twitter is all I'll say.
That is the big problem is that all these guys are in fact dead. So look, we're here. It's week 17. We actually, weirdly enough, you'd think for week 17, there'd have to be a bunch of dudes who are questionable or dead. There's not really that many spots. I mean, we don't know who's going to start at the slot wide receiver for Arizona, which would matter because Dortch is 3,000. Damian Harris could play. Mecole Hardman could come back for Kansas City. But, I mean, Hurts, so we're recording this at 2:06 p.m. on Thursday afternoon. Jalen Hurts apparently practiced today and took all the first team reps. That would shake the slate up pretty good. But yeah, we're here. You know, we're making it happen, bud.
Yeah, it is, you know, it is a bunch of crappy backups and stuff, but we for the most part do seem to know who they are going to be. Any like motivation stuff I need to care about?
So, motivation stuff. This week there's not a ton. I mean, Philadelphia would prefer not to lose this game, but they can, as long as they win one of their next two games, they are good. The Chiefs would prefer not to lose this game, and in fact, probably would really prefer to, but like they can't. Their path to getting the one seed is pretty thin. I guess the Jaguars one is probably the most interesting because it doesn't really matter, especially because Tennessee is going to lose on Thursday night. So there certainly would be a chance that, you know, ETN comes out at half. We see a lot more of you know, Jamal Agnew and Tim Jones, you know, because
that's
this game
just going to be winner of the Jacksonville Tennessee game is the division winner next week. Right. So this week doesn't really matter unless Tennessee wins.
Yeah. Right? I mean, and Carolina Tampa Bay is basically a playoff game. Miami and New England both have to win. The Saints have to win to keep any hope alive. They actually might be almost statistically dead. The Lions must win. The football team must win. Giants must win. Jets and Seahawks both must win. 49ers would really like to win, but I don't think it matters that much. They're up against Stidham. The Chargers don't have to win, but I think they would prefer to for seeding. Well, actually, maybe they wouldn't. So they actually would like to win out to potentially avoid playing Kansas City or Cincinnati or Buffalo in the first round. I think they'd like to get the highest seed possible.
Yeah, I was going to ask, can they do that? Can they get up to four? Because that was the one, right? That was the one. Like there's and all those top three teams, like that's the team you want to face the least of the like crappy.
Okay,
wild
well, as of right now, they are the sixth seed and they are facing the Chargers or the Bengals, but if they're able to get to the fifth seed ahead of Baltimore, then they can play Jacksonville. So I think they would actually really prefer that, obviously, like playing Cincinnati or Kansas City or Buffalo sounds like a bad time compared to playing the Jaguars.
Don't want it. And those three teams would also like the Chargers to win out because they're, you know, like they're a bit stiffer of a matchup than the Jaguars and whoever else.
But
the Patriots basically might get in. Come on.
Basically, most of the AFC teams are super motivated, and the NFC teams, it's a little bit less clear. Let me check the 538 predictor to see. So the teams that are officially dead are the Browns, the Rams, the Colts, the Raiders, the Broncos, the Bears, the Cardinals, the Falcons, and the Texans. And the Saints and Steelers are sub 3%. But everyone else has a hope and a prayer, basically. And so that's where we're at.
All right. How sorry is it that you mentioned the Tampa Bay Carolina game being basically a playoff game? Carolina's awful, and Tampa Bay is Tom Brady and company.
If the Buccaneers
and
Rashawn
White have 5% optimal probability, that is the highest. Like they're like drawing dead for fantasy despite being motivated against a crap defense. That's how far they've fallen.
Yeah, let me check the Saints' path to getting in. So if the Saints beat Philly this weekend and beat Carolina, they're still only 43%. So they're super super thin to get through there. But you know, it is what it is. So starting out at quarterback, I mean we got to discuss the Week 17 game that's actually going to end up happening the way the drafters wanted it to is the Bears and the Lions. Indoors, Justin Fields, highest optimal probability, highest raw projection, 7,900. The tricky thing with Fields is it's just much harder to build winning lineups with him because you're not bringing along multiple pass catchers, maybe not even bringing along one pass catcher like Dante Pettis, Byron Pringle, you know, whereas with Goff, very easy with Goff. Goff, I think, runs. I think I noticed this doing projections this week. I have him projected for the fewest percentage of team rushes of any quarterback in the NFL. He runs not at all. So we got Swift, who had his highest snap share of the year last year, St. Brown, Shark, Jameson Williams, the freaking Zylstra 3 touchdowns last week. Like, and you can play Kmet. I think you can play Dante Pettis, who has like 19 targets the last 3 weeks or whatever. He's cheap, but that's where are you at on that game?
Well, so that is what I wanted to bring up to you first. It's like the most important thing is Justin Fields is far, he's just blowing everyone else away in optimal probability. It's like this is like Jalen Hurts was 2 weeks ago, because like everyone else that has like the 40-point ceiling is not on the slate. There is no Allen, Lamar. If Hurts plays, that will really change things. But as of right now, Fields, it's like, good Lord. And he's going to be owned. He'll probably be second or third highest quarterback. But like you were saying, it's difficult to build with him. I don't think people realize it's like he's 22% optimal on DraftKings, and it's even higher on FanDuel, like 22% optimal, and then Mahomes is second with like 9. So I'm just absolutely jamming him. But yeah, the receivers are bad. The pass catchers are bad. Amon-Ra St. Brown might be the most popular wide receiver on the slate too, who is going to be someone that everyone pairs with him. But I feel like I certainly am going to play a boatload of Fields. I have never considered playing a quarterback naked in MME as much as I'm doing right now. Do you want to?
I won't do it. I've been playing Dante Pettis with him. Pettis and Pringle, actually. So Pettis, last 2 weeks, Pettis scores a touchdown last week, 73%, 80%, 65% of the snaps. The issue is their passing game is just so low volume. I would not be surprised if the Bears, Mooney probably had one, but I would not be surprised if the Bears didn't have a 100-yard wide receiver this year other than Mooney, honestly.
Yeah, you might be right. I mean, I remember talking about him a fair bit before, like, I don't know, week 8 or 9, and we were like, you know, if he just gets, like, he doesn't have a touchdown yet this season, which is almost impossible, and if he just scores one, he's gonna end up optimal. And I think he did have a really good game that week, but it was still like 70 yards in the touchdown, which is pretty much the ceiling you're looking at for many of these guys. It could be fine. I mean, Kmet did have a couple big games. Fields hung like 44 on the Lions a month and a half ago, and I believe that Kmet was relatively prominently involved. I think his two, like, absolutely holy crap top 5 fantasy games of the season games were with Kmet scoring multiple touchdowns.
The Bears, the Bears Lions 61-point game featured St. Brown going 10 for 119, Komet going 4 for 74 and two, and Darnell Mooney going 4 for 57. So maybe Fields naked is just the answer.
Yeah, I mean, you said Komet 4 for 72 and two is a key part of that. But yeah, because if Fields is really, really separating himself, that stuff can be wonky, obviously, but if he's really, really separating himself, he is probably converting some of those. He's going to have to pass for at least a touchdown or two. It's not just going to be he runs for 150 and two, although that's most of the way there. I just think at like 7,900, that's not getting you there all on its own. He's still going to have to throw for, I don't know, 150 yards and a touchdown. And someone should be able to eke out value there, but it's definitely difficult. And then the natural pairing partner, if you play him naked, is St. Brown, who's just going to be Giga Chalk. So I don't really know, but I'm going to play a ton of Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean, that seems fine. Mahomes, I like obviously like the spot, but the motivation stuff is, I mean, you know, they are playing against Denver, who, I don't know, I guess maybe you could talk yourself into Denver fires Nathaniel Hackett so they try harder this week, you know, the dead cat bounce with the coach. You can play Judy. You can play Judy as a bring back. I think there should be enough value this week that you could squeeze Kelsey in there. Smith-Schuster had a down game last week, but Mahomes only completed 16 passes. Like, that's not going to be the case all that often. And I mean, you know, look, like weird shit happens. The Chiefs had to go into overtime to beat the Houston Texans. Like, weird things happen in football games. Mahomes actually has the highest ceiling of any player, of any quarterback on the slate too. If you are including his resurgent rushing ability, I mean, this is the best fantasy rushing season of Mahomes' career. He is up to 321 rushing yards and 4 rushing touchdowns. So if you give him a couple points of rushing equity that you would not have given him in the past, it is a little interesting. But what's more interesting to me is Herbert and also Trevor Lawrence, if I thought they cared. But I think I'm just going to make this rule. I've seen this go against me so many times in sports. It's just like, if the motivation is really not that clear, I don't think I can go there.
Yeah, don't bother with it. I'm with you. If they don't, unless we hear like definitive stuff, it's really not worth speculating on. Because then you're like, okay, a 30% chance of this situation happening or whatever you assign to it. You know, like maybe you're working on the situation. It's still not the nuts situation, right? If I could tell you that Justin Fields was 1% owned this weekend, obviously you'd play 100% of him. But like, it's still not the nut outcome. You know, he's not guaranteed to be the guy to do it. So it's a bit of a play whoever you want, slate at quarterback, honestly. It's just like, I'm more interested in working through that at the wide receiver position, because it's just like, okay, Fields 22%, Mahomes 9%. And then it's like everybody else is 4 or 6, you know, between 3 and 6% that you would consider. I can maybe start dipping my toes into, I haven't played him yet. Bad total still, but Deshaun Watson has been playing a little bit better. At least according to, you know, I know PBA
and running a little bit.
He's running a little bit, but he's got, for what it's worth, PFF again, whatever, but they clock every play, and I certainly don't, and I appreciate that from them. He has a 55-57 grade in his first two games back, and then a 70 and a 69 in the last two. Last week, obviously, had to play in 13-degree weather. He's been a little better, and Amari Cooper just has so many air yards since he's been back that I think that's probably a bit of run bad on
Njoku too, by the way, has been like really, really involved, like more so than I think even we anticipated. So I think that is a little bit interesting. I mean, Wentz targeted the crap out of Jahan Dotson. Dotson has actually been smashing. The other big spot is the Jets Seahawks game, because that's basically must win playoff game. Mike White back is huge for those pass catchers. A lot like Elijah Moore looks really good. Garrett Wilson obviously is a smash. Corey Davis, I think, is a pretty interesting 2% on play. We're probably going to get Tyler Lockett back. I haven't put him back in the projections yet, but sounds like he's got a decent chance to go with that hand injury. I could actually see that Jets Seahawks game, especially because Walker is playing with this ankle injury. I could see that being a pretty good fantasy spot, and super cost effective. Like, you can do Mike White at 5,400 with Elijah Moore, with Garrett Wilson, with DK Metcalf, and still play, you know, McCaffrey or whoever else you want.
Right. I think that is fair. It's still funny when you say Mike White being back is huge. You're not wrong. Like, the Jets have been much more reliable fantasy players when he's been in there, but it's a hilarious statement on the surface. Snap take. We've got the number two, the team who's had the number two seed wrapped up for like 3 months, it feels like, traveling to the below 500 Green Bay Packers. What do you think the spread is in that game? Who do you think's favored?
I know Green Bay is right. Favored because I have our stuff pulled up, but makes me want to bet the Vikings. I don't know.
Three and a half. Like, I didn't mean to put you on, obviously, but
Justin Jefferson is just so good, man.
And I know the Vikings obviously are massive frauds. You know, like, they shouldn't have won that game against Buffalo. There's plenty of others. They've had, you know, they got the, let's not, like, in the forgetting about the collapse of the Indianapolis Colts, let's not forget the Vikings were down 33-0 at half to the Indianapolis Colts. Like, that's not good. They're definitely a bad team, but it is funny on the surface. Packers have definitely been playing a little bit better. I mean, I'm going to throw Aaron Rodgers into the pool at 6K if Christian Watson plays. And I think I will make an if Rodgers then Watson rule, because that is how that guy gets it done.
Yeah. What about Teddy Bridgewater? Can you talk yourself into Teddy two gloves at 5,000 with Tyreek and Waddle?
I mean, the problem is Tyreek and Waddle are still pretty expensive. They're still a total below 20. It's made me look dumb a few times, but I'm still probably a little bit under.
They both, by the way, have had 20-plus fantasy point games already this season with Teddy.
Right.
I think Tyreek had a 14 reception game with Teddy.
Right. But Tyreek at 8,900, like, I don't think, you know, like, you're going to need a lot more than 20 points to compete with, like, what Justin Jefferson has been doing with Amon-Ra St. Brown. There's some other guys in pretty good spots. But yeah, I mean, it's not the craziest thing in the world. The other part of that too is that the Patriots defense is likely to be like massive chalk. So you can get yourself over there a little bit by, you know, bucking the trend with Teddy. But yeah, the Patriots are 2,600, you know, pretty good defense that gets pretty good, like, that gets very good pressure against a team with a 19 point total. So
Jefferson has 97 fantasy points the last 3 weeks. No other players over 65.
Yeah, it's a bit silly. The only people on this slate that have more air yards in the last since Deshaun Watson came back than Amari Cooper are Justin Jefferson and Davante Adams, who, you know, rest in peace, I guess. Like, there's no chance with Stidham, right? There's no even like, oh, this is crazy. Davante Adams is going to be 1% owned.
Or not for me. I actually think there's an argument that Justin Jefferson is a better play at 35% than Davante Adams at 1% to be 100. All right, running backs.
I mean, that's impossible, but yeah, I hear what you're saying.
It is running back. Is. Yeah. I stand by it. So James Conner continues to have the best role in the NFL. Literally doesn't matter who's a quarterback. They just give him the ball 23 times a game and they don't adjust his price at all. Swift, the aforementioned role. I mean, you know, we'll see. I don't know. We've all been Lucy in the football with this multiple times, but whatever. Saquon, like, must win spot, big favorite against Nick Foles. He got 10 targets in the passing game last week, which was the most he'd been used in the passing game in a while. McCaffrey, best running back play of the slate. Jamal Williams also looks good just because of that insane game environment and in total. Aaron Jones, if he plays, he's got that ankle injury that caused him to have limited snaps. He looks really good. Minnesota's defense has been so bad. Ramondre looks pretty good. And then our projections don't know that the Jacksonville Jaguars don't care. So I really would not play ETN. And Mr. Zonovan Knight. Knight actually probably ends up being leverage off of Wilson and Elijah Moore.
Here's the thing, is that ETN is actually being talked about a lot because he gets that Houston run defense. So I think he'll get played a little bit. And I don't think he's, like, so bad. Because even if they don't care, it's like, then they just hand it off 35 times. Maybe. But, yeah, you're right.
But
he could
probably
get half,
probably so. To Snoop Connor and Jamichael Hasty.
Right. I think you hit it pretty well. It's like McCaffrey, Connor, Barkley are, like, the obvious best plays. And then the only real, like, I don't I don't love running back this slate because those guys are so far chalk, but not egregious chalk. And they're quite a bit higher optimal probability than the next tiers of dudes. But Aaron Jones, good leverage, you know, home favorite against a fraudulent Vikings team. It's funny that they're home favorites, but still. And you can even stack Aaron Jones with Aaron Rodgers if you want to. He certainly gets some receiving touchdowns as well. And then I think the most interesting thing for me and the spot I'm going to be like gambling on the hardest is, you mentioned it, the Detroit Lions running backs, because it's a little like Dallas last week where they're people probably aren't going to play a ton of them because the workload split is so difficult. And so they're like, you know, mean projections don't look amazing. That'll keep the ownership in check. But Detroit is a home favorite with the highest total on the slate by a pretty significant margin. They're just barely above the Chiefs. But then those guys are like such a big tier two or tier one above everyone else. It's a big drop off after those guys. So I think the Lions are worthwhile getting quite a bit over on both Swift and Jamal Williams.
Kamara, I mean, he just like we laugh about the Taysom stuff and Kamara's been so tilting, but like his role is actually like so good. I mean, he's got 20 touches, he's got 25 touches each of the last two games, and they are truly in, like, they absolutely have to beat Philadelphia here.
That's nice. I mean, teams in the playoffs are going to absolutely have to beat Philadelphia and probably not do it too. But yeah, I know what you're saying. There's definitely some stuff there. Can you speculate on the Rams situation? I mean, it's just Cam Akers' show now, right? Again, and like the Chargers are a crappy run defense.
And the interesting thing is I actually don't think Akers coming off of back-to-back, two straight games of being the lead back, four of the last five games. He had two touchdowns against Seattle too. I mean, he's actually been really good, and I don't think anyone will play him just because of a general distrust of the Rams. I mean, I think on that three-game slate, yeah, Akers was like 15% owned or something. Like, no one even wanted to play him on a three-gamer, so I don't think in this slate people are going to play him either.
Yeah, I think that was more in – because I MME'd a bit, and he was in the 30-ish percent range, but you're right. I think people hate him, so they're going down. He burned all the, like, hardcores. And, you know, the Rams have a gross total – they're quote on the road, but do they play at the same stadium? I don't even remember, because the Chargers were playing at like the LAFC stadium for a while in Downey, but I think they both play at SoFi. I don't know. It doesn't matter, but not a yes, significant, it's
they,
a neutral
they both,
field.
A quick Google indicates they do share SoFi Stadium.
Okay. Well, as you know, as an Angelino for several years, I will say it's mostly Raiders fans. Some people like the Rams. Fucking everybody hates the Chargers.
Everyone hates the Chargers. People in LA hate the Chargers. People in San Diego hate the Chargers. I personally hate the Chargers. Everyone hates the Chargers.
Except for football hipsters, I will say, because we've all for years been like, why the Chargers are like the third best team in the AFC and they just missed the playoffs like year after year after year after year. And it's like, you know who's actually like better than Joe Burrow is Justin Herbert. And that's like probably a true statement, but you know, it is more like the, whatever. I just think the Rams are fine. Are like, it's not that bad of a spot for them. And I think Akers is going to be like 3% on. So that's mostly what I'm interested in.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah. That works for me. McKinnon. I mean, McKinnon is getting to the point that he's going to be like 30. He was 35% owned last week.
Yeah, he was also 35% owned in most of my best ball leagues and 100% owned on my best ball teams. None of them made it.
Yeah, no, we hate to see it. We really do. Kenneth Walker seems okay. Tyler Allgeier seems okay. I think Atlanta. Did I say Atlanta was eliminated? I can't remember.
I'm sure they are.
I think maybe not that. Really,
oh right,
because
that division's so bad. Yeah,
I think maybe the Falcons are drawing. No, the Falcons are completely eliminated. Yeah. Okay. The Falcons are completely eliminated. So at least we got that going for us. All right. Wide receiver.
Well, wait, one last one. Are the Miami running backs, did Jeff Wilson get hurt? Is he going to be screwed again? Is it?
No. They're both good to go.
They're both good to go. Okay. And not really something you want to
speculate
on necessarily.
Mostert got banged up on Saturday and then came back in.
Oh, okay, right. Other way around. I knew somebody got hurt. But, like, the Patriots are not good, and this game could easily go the way of Miami being up. And I think with Teddy at the helm, over two at the helm, they will be more likely to just be like, here, keep running, keep running. So,
yeah. So, wide receiver. I am our London projection is probably a smidge high based on efficiency, but the market share stuff is right. He is absolutely getting flooded with targets with Ritter and no Kyle Pitts. His targets the last 3 weeks, 12 against Pittsburgh, 11 against New Orleans, 9 for 76 last week against Baltimore. He has not scored a touchdown since week 11. But he is sub 5,000. He looks like a total smash. Keenan Allen, I mean, he is really Keenan Allen-ing right now, like 13 targets every game. Jacoby Myers, I mean, you guys know the deal, must win spot. He gets every slot target, whatever. St. Brown, most owned wide receiver of the slate. Garrett Wilson looks really good. I would not play Christian Kirk. I gotta mess with our projections here. They're too high on Dante Pettis. This is not right. It might be right market share wise, but not right efficiency wise. Shahid for the Saints actually is super interesting. He ran more routes and got more targets than Olave 2 weeks ago. Then Olave decided he didn't want to play in the cold last week, and Shahid led them in routes and targets again. Dortch, I mean, if Greg Dortch, if he the issue with Dortch is you just cannot have any confidence that he is going to be the slot guy. Like Cliff might just go back to AJ Green or Robbie Anderson and put Hollywood Brown back in the slot.
Right, right. And Dortch is just, I mean, I didn't want to play Dortch when it was Kyler a quarterback, so I don't want to do it when it's Trace McSorley. I will tell you that much. I want to try to look up what how close we are, if our prop tool has any issues with Pettis, but it looks like we are close. I mean, we're at least close enough that it's not projecting as stars either way because it's not on the page, so I think we're actually pretty in line with what Vegas has for an over-under on him, if that matters to you, which it does, I know, because, you know, attention to detail and your fastidious nature is what makes you good at this job.
So fastidious of me. I mean, I will say no chance do I end up playing him in non-Fields lineups because Jahan Dotson is 4,600. Dortch is 3,000, Shahid is 4,000, and Elijah Moore is 3,500. And like subjectively clicking buttons, I like all those guys way better because they're not Dante Pettis.
And I don't really want to bring it back. I don't really want to use him as a bring back on Jared Goff teams because, like, if Pettis is doing anything, then Fields is scoring 40 and get out of here, Jared Goff, you know? That's also subjective, but if Fields has it going with his arms at all, like it's well, just the one arm, I suppose, but then he's probably going to be absolutely nuking. Jefferson's awesome if you can afford him. He's the highest optimal probability guy. It's difficult to fit in, but pretty dumb to not at least get 20% in there. It's just you can't really make or break your week on that because it's so easy for three cheaper guys to do something. It's just a lot of them, frankly, the big alphas, are all in considerably worse spots. Like Jefferson's the only guy with like his regular situation going on. I mean, unless you want to call Keenan Allen, I would not consider Keenan Allen in that tier, but you know, Tyreek is missing his quarterback. AJ Brown is missing his quarterback. DK Metcalf is playing the toughest defense in football. I mean, Metcalf himself is probably even on that second tier with Keenan Allen. DeAndre Hopkins doesn't have his quarterback. So all these like $8,500 receivers are in a bad spot except for Justin Jefferson and except for Amon-Ra St. Brown, who isn't priced in that spot, but is probably belongs in that spot. And that's why he's going to be the most popular guy by a mile.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I don't even really, I'm not even really going to fight it on St. Brown. Like I'll probably play him a bunch and try and get weird in other spots. Yeah.
I mean, think he's fine. I think it's a more interesting gambit to really get off of him, honestly, in the contest you play. Like in MME, it's like, whatever, I'm going to hold my nose and play my 25%, try to match the field there. I think in single entry, he might be like 50% owned, though. So,
I mean, depending in the spy and stuff, he probably will be. A couple other guys who are interesting. Romeo Doubs, if Watson doesn't play again, must win spot for the Packers. He really is their only guy with any juice at all. No disrespect intended to Alan Lazard, the Rams guys, Atwell, Jefferson, Powell, whoever. I don't know. They're all like $3,000. One of them could do. I mean, the Chargers, like, whatever. Kendrick Bourne shows up for 6-101 last week, sending Nelson Aguilar to the bench. He is maybe worth a dart throw. And then Isaiah Hodgins and Richie James. I mean, the Giants play three wide receivers. They never sub them out, and they throw to all of them, and they don't really throw to Bellinger. Like, I do think those dudes are in play.
Yeah, I was going to mention Slayton too, because it does seem like he's kind of left for dead after being chalk last week. I don't see why. It's Indianapolis. They're not good.
So one other take I have to get off is I just am not going to play any Brandon Cooks. I think that there will be this. I think Brandon Cooks will end up being like 14%, you know, and I just, I'm not totally not with that. Let's see. Is anyone else interesting here? I mean, Justin Jefferson, like, smashing this dude in. Justin Jefferson is the best.
Projects, yeah, he's great. Points. It's just, you know, if you're prioritizing him, you're going to be prioritizing him. So, like, you're in your single entry teams or three max teams,
over McCaffrey. You
can't play him and McCaffrey together and have a realistic lineup, right? So
if Justin Jefferson projects for 18% of rosters and McCaffrey projects for 25%, it's Jefferson for sure.
And that's about what it looks to be.
So yep. Yeah.
Gonna have to save it running back. I like it. That tends to be my lead.
You want to tell me my weekly, like, you absolutely shouldn't play Sky Moore thing?
Yeah, I don't know who that guy is.
This dude, the Chiefs are just so annoying, bro. They are so annoying. They lead the NFL in points. They lead the NFL in yards, and every wide receiver on the team never gets there for fantasy. Juju does like once every three games.
Kelsey does.
Dude, I'm just looking at their MVS, 800 yards, three touchdowns. Or Juju, 800 yards, three touchdowns. MVS, 600 yards, two touchdowns. Hardman, 300 yards, four touchdowns. Noah Gray. I mean, this is so annoying. It's just, but Mahomes is leading the NFL in every category. It's so obnoxious.
And Hardman was about, it looked like he was getting into it before he got hurt. You know, he really was starting to open up that role. He had trustworthy games in a row, and it was like, and then he gets hurt. So it's a little funny. I mean, you were just saying this with Kendrick Bourne coming in, and I was going to make you could say this about the Chiefs too. I was going to make a joke about how, you know, the Patriots were always back in the, you know, early days of this. It was like, oh, the Patriots are just the one team you can't figure out running back at. So like, why even bother? And now every team does that. But the Patriots are just kind of like, hold my beer. We're going to do it at wide receiver now. And the Chiefs do that too, it seems like. It makes sense, like, especially for, if you think about a team like KC that relies so much on trying to get these deep balls and having these like crazy fast receivers, why not rotate them in and out? It's hard to run down sprint down the field and sprint back on a bunch of plays in a row. So the more you can rotate those guys, probably the better it is. That's a big part of why the Eagles defensive line has been so incredible for the last, like, I don't know, 8 years or something, is they've always got like eight dudes in their, you know, on their defensive line that they're rotating in and out. And Fletcher Cox is absolutely awesome, but he also can be even more awesome when he's playing 60% of the snaps instead of like 80 or whatever he'd play on a different team. So,
yeah. All right. Tight end. We got three dudes coming in as values. One of them is unplayable. So we got Kmet, we got Kelsey, and then we got Ingram. I mean, honestly, maybe you do just play Ingram and
you're
like,
really
whatever.
Starting to. I'm like, I'm gonna play some Jaguar stacks now. Like, the way you're just completely dismissing them, we don't.
Well,
I appreciate it, but
it's because you might only get two quarters of them, right? I mean, I don't know.
Was to not speculate on this like 20 minutes ago.
It's just it's just completely unknowable is the thing, and there are other spots that are knowable, like. If they were playing any team but the Texans, if they were playing the Titans, if it just so happened that the things got flip-flopped and the Jaguars were playing the Titans or the Texans this week, or the Jaguars were playing the Titans this week and the Texans were playing the Titans, like, it, you know, we wouldn't have to care about any of this shit.
But I don't think anyone's going to play them at all. And I think the Texans are like the worst defense in football. And, you know, why not? Like, it's Trevor Lawrence has had some absolutely monster games lately. I will say not enough to get any of my stupid best ball teams through when Jalen Hurts was hurt in all of them. But I continue to digress. Yeah, Engram, I mean, you're right. I mean, Engram in a vacuum is gross, but I mean, I'm gonna play a few. I won't play. I will make sure I get a rule in so that I don't allow Engram as a one-off. Like, it's got to be part of a game stack, you know, at least with some Houston trash or whatnot. But Kelsey, smash. Hard to get in there. Hard to prioritize. I don't really got, like, DFS was rugged last week, too, because I remember specifically now that I'm saying this Kelsey thing. I'm like, oh, his ceiling, you know, like freaking Dalton Schultz and TJ Hawkinson are the next most owned guys. Like, and they're almost 5K. Like, they can't match that ceiling. And then Hawkinson, you know, puts up almost a 40 ball again. So that wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
I like Komet. No. I think Komet is my favorite guy to stack with Fields. I like it less as a one-off because I do think he could sniff 8-10% owned. So it's really
I completely agree.
Fields doing it for me. Yeah. So like it might be don't play him unless it's with Fields or at least Goff.
If Hunter Henry doesn't play, I actually think Jonnu is playable. He's really cheap. He will probably not come off the field. Honestly, Hawkinson, I mean, he has shown us ceiling. Like, oh, yeah. he looks pretty good. Akins continues to run a bunch of routes. Kittle is actually super interesting because he has really been the biggest beneficiary of Deebo being out and not McCaffrey and not Ayuk, kind of the way you thought it would be. And also, he just is like, Kittle has never got it done on crazy volume. He's always just been like, his big games have always been efficiency. So he never really projects that well from like a median, but he is like, I don't know, he's fucking superhero. Like, he just is a huge, big, fast guy.
Best tight end in football. And this has been true of all 49ers in the entire Shanahan era. Like, even the shout out, you remember Nam saying, he's a good buddy of mine, he won $1 million on Tevin Coleman one time. You know, like the DraftKings millionaire maker. It was not like a single entry thing. That guy was 2% owned, and I don't know, just like, he was one of those running back whack-a-mole things. Like, let's get over this. It worked out. So I think Kittle's actually is a strong play for sure. And he's been had several really good games in a row. So I think that's fine. Did Dallas Goedert get all the love? I mean, it was the Devonta Smith show. Dallas Goedert was not locked onto by G. Minshew the way that people expected.
94% of the snaps, 3 targets, 3 receptions, 67 yards. Like no real role change. Just it happened to be D. Smith. So I think Goddard seems pretty interesting. Bellinger continues to play every single snap. Trey McBride continues to play a ton. He just is so bad, but I don't know. Maybe 4 for 50 at that salary. Greg Dulcich is questionable with a hamstring injury. So, you know, what if Albert Okwuegbunam is who you need in week 17? You know?
That would be funny. You could say. That would definitely be funny. Waller, like, is 4,300. Like, I don't think so, but, like, he's cheap enough. It's not like you're paying the 8,500 for Adams.
Yeah, but he has played 49% and 40% of the snaps since coming back. I if he was, like, 4,200, I would be more into it. Looking at
the... And they're throwing in the towel. They don't have their pick, so I don't know entirely. You know, like, they it's not like they're just going to tank, but...
They're going with Jarrett Stidham, so they are effectively doing that. 49ers defense against Stidham, Patriots defense against Teddy. I mean, these defenses are just going to get piled on. So if you like the Panthers defense against Tampa Tom, if you like the Packers defense, if you like the Falcons defense against McSorley/Colt, the Jets defense, there are just a lot of good defensive plays, but those two that I mentioned, the 49ers and the Patriots, are going to be completely jammed on.
Yeah, they are. I'm hoping like maybe a little more value opens up that I'm interested in as far as running back goes, because there's a lot of defenses on DraftKings that are really strong plays, but they are $1,000 more than the Patriots and 49ers. And when it comes to defense, it doesn't really matter what they cost, kind of, because it's like, well, if a team scores 25, it's like you wanted to have them. And most teams are going to score 6, so you're not really worried about it one way or another. But if I can find teams that I'm comfortable with the Chiefs, the Giants, the Chargers, I think those are all very strong defense plays. It's just it's tricky to fit them in to spend that money and to spend that salary. And, you know, you're not going to do that in a single entry or three max kind of thing. But in MME, I'm going to force myself to get over on all those teams because they're going to be 3-5% owned. And they do have more than a 3-5% chance of just absolutely blowing it up and being a must own play.
Yeah.
And incredible leverage on that. You know, yes, the 49ers and Patriots are just going to be bonkers.
I actually like the Buccaneers defense. And I mean, if you could talk yourself into playing the $3,500 Dolphins defense, we love to see that.
Bucks actually, I think, is a little bit interesting because they're not expensive and they still are, even though they haven't been as good, they still are a bit of the pass funnel where like they shut down the run. And the reason the Panthers offense has been okay lately is they've been running the ball all over the place. Like if Tampa shuts that down and says, please, Sam Darnold, throw on us 42 times. That is delightful.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with that. Favorite rule?
Well, I don't know. I really don't know, man. Like, it's the Fields thing. I have to get over that. I will probably, maybe my favorite rule is no Komet or Pettis unless Fields.
That seems good. I think I don't know, it's like the Mahomes stuff, I do think I would force in one of these donkey boys, whether it be Juju, whether it be MBS, whether it be Watson, whether it be Tony, whether it be Hardman, whether it be Sky, whoever. I think it's so
hard.
Did
we talk Tony, what was his role up to last week? It was better but not great, right?
He played a little bit more last week. He got up to 16 snaps, 30%, 2 targets, 1 reception, 8 yards. I mean, it is kind of crazy, though. If you go back and look at the game, if you go back and look at the Jacksonville game, which was like the first, like, quote-unquote healthy game, he played 44% of the snaps. He got 5 targets. He played more snaps than Juju. I think Juju got hurt in that game. That's what happened, is that was the game Juju got concussed.
Right.
And so he played more snaps than Sky and Juju. Now, Watson still out-snapped him. But what's happening now is MVS is starting to lose snaps because he's so empty calories. Like Watson is playing ahead of him too. It's a mess. I really hope it's different for the Chiefs next year. I hope they trade for a great wide receiver, draft a great wide receiver, do something, because I can't do another year of this.
Well, the problem is their best guys are all like better in the slot. Like Juju's almost exclusively a slot receiver. And then Hardman plays in the Reek role, which Reek was best doing that in the slot. Hardman plays more in the slot. Like they don't have a lot of outside help, and it's MVS, honestly, on paper, like going into the season, it's like, listen, that guy's a good deep threat field stretcher, whatever. He's going to be a decoy. Maybe it's worked for the offense because they're still putting up a lot of points. He sucks for fantasy, but like, I don't know. I guess that's working for him, but like MVS and Justin Watson are the wind sprint guys on the outside, and it doesn't really help you very much. So
it's sounds difficult
to figure that out.
Sounds like Hardman's not going to be back. It's Thursday. He's not been back at practice yet. I don't really know what they're waiting for, but it's not there yet. All right, man, let's get out of here. Everyone, happy new year. Good luck. Hope you begin your 2023 with $1 million. We wish you luck in your best ball sweats, and we'll see y'all then.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.